Earlier this month, the Jesuit Order of the Catholic Church released a list of priests who have credible accusations of sexual abuse against them. Two of the priests, Paul Pilgrim and Anthony Short, served at St. Stephen's Mission on the Wind River Reservation in the 1970s and 80s. Until 1939, St. Stephen's was an Indian boarding school, and after that, a day school. But the news of the priest abuse is not a surprise to many tribal members. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards spoke with 71-year-old Northern Arapaho tribal member Ernie Whiteman and his daughter Missy about the Catholic Church's role on the Wind River Reservation.
Ernie Whiteman attended St. Stephen's School in the early 1960s before the two priests, Pilgrim and Short, served there. Whiteman says he never experienced sexual abuse there, but the regimented lifestyle was a shock to him because he'd only attended white public schools before that.
I realized that in order to survive in that environment, I had to compromise. I had to do things to survive. I became an altar boy. One of the old style of altar boys that spoke Latin. They don't do that anymore. The classes were co-ed, but during the day, when we had recess or lunch, you know, you were well aware of that, that you did not go onto the girls' side and the girls did not go onto the boys' side, or you would be punished. We called it the Board of Education because if you were punished, you were usually sent to the office of the principal, who was one of the priests, and you were punished by the priest by a spanking. And what they had was a big board, depending on how the priest felt that day, would determine how much swats you got. They would bend you over and swat you with this big board. Actually, it was a board, and would inflict pain on the kids that committed whatever crime the church thought you were committing, to be punished that severely. I had grandparents and parents that went to the same school system before I did, and it was much more severe, in the sense that there was much more abuse that existed openly. And so my parents grew up in a generation where the church was successful in that they didn't speak the language anymore. Even though they knew the language, my parents would not speak the language in front of us, in front of their children.
You know, now that we have these names of priests starting to come out, is it something that you think was happening at St. Stephen's, that there could have been sexual abuse by priests there?
Oh, of course, of course. And I won't mention any names because names aren't out, but I know I'm aware of one priest for sure. You know, the priest is gone now. He's deceased. But because there was nobody to go to, there was nobody to talk to about this, there was no support. Where were they going to go? If you were abused by a priest when you were a child and you're suddenly 17 years old, and this is like in 1970, who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to go to? Who's going to listen?
The other part about that is that because pretty much an entire reservation that was Christianized or Catholicized, there was always a divide and conquer mentality that happened within these schools, these education systems, that if you are a good Catholic, if you're a good Christian, then you're on the good side. You know, you're going to go to heaven and all of these great things. But if you speak out or rebelling against that system, then you're the devil. You're bad. You're going to go to hell. But the other part of that, too, is that if something did happen to you and your family does know, or relatives, they may not believe you because they've been so brainwashed. You know, to them, you know, these priests were like gods because they had basically stripped them from their culture, their language, their mm-hmm. religion, and had brought in this completely different belief system.
One of the things I think that we have to be very sensitive and be aware of is the victim, those that have been affected, those that are still being affected today. rather than sensationalize and giving the church more power, so to speak.
Yeah, I am working currently with the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition on the Healing Voices series. It is a series of short videos that is about, really about healing, but it's also about documenting our elders' stories of survival through boarding school experience. And so when we interview our elders, we make sure that there is protocol that's followed. We make sure that they are not sharing for the first time. We make sure that our questions are pretty open-ended and that we are transparent about the process. We visited Turtle Mountain. That was our first community. The second community was Alaska. And then the third community was the Wind River Reservation, which is my community. When somebody tells their story, we don't leave them in a place where they're re-traumatized. We do have a counselor, we have medicine people on site that can help them. From what I've seen with our Healing Voices mm-hmm. series, our youth, our young ones are the ones that are really looking at this issue from a different perspective. Because, you know, we talk about intergenerational trauma and how it kind of seeps through each generation. But again, we have to also remember that each generation heals.
Ernie Whiteman is a retired professor of Native American history. Missy Whiteman says the Healing Voices film series will be available next year to Native researchers and others. An edited version for the general public will be available then as well. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.